Welcome to Life Church Hurley's audio podcast. We hope this teaching will challenge you in any season of life you may be in. Thank you for joining us. We hope you'll enjoy.
Amen. 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 Man, so much happening. Amen. It's all good. I do want to tell you about next week is what we call Breakfast with Jesus. So during the service next week, we will actually have breakfast together. We'll sit in these chairs and we'll have worship and we'll hear a sermon and all those good things, but we're going to have breakfast together, eat together. It comes out of scripture where Jesus was resurrected. He sees his disciples out on the boat fishing and he calls them into the shore and it says Jesus had breakfast right there with them that morning. How cool is that? So next week, bring your whole family, kids. The whole children's ministry will actually be over here. We're having one of our family services that we do throughout the year. And so you'll be able to have breakfast or brunch pretty much with you and your kids here. Amen. Now, we are going to be so very blessed, especially me, because I don't have to preach this morning. Because we have Bishop Joshua Holder from Ghana, West Africa. So come on, Bishop, while I'm talking about you. I wish we had time to tell you more about his story. There is a book coming soon that Elizabeth Butler is working on that she's been working on for like a year now. So books take time. Hey, Bishop, come on over here. Watch your head. His story is unbelievable. But what he's done... Oh, you don't even have to bow. Our work in Ghana was nothing, and Bishop started to work over there many years ago, and he could tell you all the numbers, but there are like 7 Bible colleges, 23 life churches, and now there's 2 faith academies in 2 different areas. He has put in work over the decades, and he is an unbelievably godly man. To ride around Ghana in the very, very back of the 4Runner that he drives, because I'm nobody, and... to just go see all the work is just fantastic. I would love for all of you to go there one day. Amen. So would you please welcome him this morning to Life Church Hurley.
We love him so much. We love him.
You left some out what I told you to say.
Good morning, y'all. I bring you greetings from Ghana, the city where Jesus lives, and where I long to be, and where God is doing great things. Amen. And I really believe we are in the latter days of the latter days. And these are the days we experience the mighty move of God, because his coming is at hand. I greet you on this Resurrection Sunday, the most important day in the faith of the church. I bring you greetings from Pastor Dick Braswell, Papa Dick Braswell, and the whole family of Life Church, Mobile and Ghana. But this morning, before I get carried away, I want to thank Pastor Steve and the family for the invitation. I don't take it for granted, standing behind a man's pulpit. His pulpit is his life. His pulpit is his breath, and his sweat, and his prayer. Thank you for the invitation. It's an honor to be here this morning. I also have special people that came with me this morning. I have my son-in-law in the house this morning, and God is so great that I can have a son-in-law in the U.S. and who happens to be not my color, but he has bleached himself, so he's pale. I want to introduce my daughter-in-law, Sister Brandy, and her husband. Will you stand, please? Let people get to know you. Amen. Brandy is my daughter in the Lord. She came to me in Ghana, and we worked together. And I'm trusting God she will come back because there are so many lives she touched. The few times she taught in our school, Faith Academy, Damuasi. And I pray that she will come back and see how far the Lord has carried her babies and her children. Amen. And that is her husband, Chris. And they are here this morning. I also have a family that worked with me in Ghana for 6 months out of the year. What you have gone through, transitioning from the building to this place, they saw the transition of our church, and they were part of the transition because we were in the classroom, and then we got kicked out of the classroom on a Thursday. And we moved to our land where the church is now, and that land was nothing. It was where the neighborhood dumped their refuse, a filthy piece of land. We moved there on Thursday. They closed the classroom door, and the members said, let's go and plead with the principal to open the door for Sunday service. I said, I will not plead with the man. God is telling us to move. And so we move on a Thursday to our filthy plot of land where all the community dumped their refuge. And she was with my wife. Mama Favor, stand, please. And Daddy Favor, she was with my wife and the members of our church. And we used our hands to clear the refuge from the land. And that Sunday we had service there. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we worship there. And God is so good that Sunday it rained. And we had a tent over our head that was only sunproof and not waterproof. And it rained. Bibles got wet, clothes got wet, shoes got wet, and I have a little bitty truck. It got stuck in the refuge. And that's where God had brought. So when I came here and saw your transition from the building here, I said, you are on track. And your hands have laid a foundation, and your hands will complete it. I also have the butlers here who came with me. One came to Ghana one time, and they, like their pastor, they broke my church, and thank God the butlers are here also. Amen. And Brother Dubois also has come to Ghana. I have a lot of people here who came to Ghana over the years. They love Ghana because they experienced Jesus in Ghana. And glory be to God. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you. We give you the praise. We thank you for this Resurrection Sunday. We thank you, Lord, because if it had not been for the resurrection, there will be no church. There will be no believers. So, Lord, we bless you. Now, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, O Lord, in our sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. As I said, this Sunday is very special to the faith of the believers. Because during this week, from Palm Sunday to today, we discuss about the 6 pillars of our faith. The 6 pillars in Islam, they have the 5 pillars of Islam. But we Christians, we have the 6 pillars of our faith. We spoke about the humanity of Christ. We talked about his earthly birth. We talked about the incarnation. We talked about his walk on this life. We talked about his sinless birth.
We also talk about his death. That talks about the crucifixion, the suffering, the humility, the shame, the sacrifice, our salvation. We also spoke about his burial. We spoke about his resurrection, which we'll talk about this morning, his ascension, and his return. The six pillars of our faith. So no matter where you came from, if you believe in these pillars of the Christian faith, then the Bible says we are brothers and sisters in Christ. This is what binds us together, the pillars of our faith. I will thank God for that. But go with me to the book of Mark, chapter 16. We want to read the first four verses. And we're not talking about what our brother spoke about to silence the disciples. I love what he said. Amen. I'm reading from the New King James. Mark chapter 16, the first four verses. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. This morning I want to talk about the stone is rolled away. The importance of the resurrection. The stone is rolled away. The importance of the resurrection. I want for us to understand that no man had plan or hand in the resurrection of Jesus. It was not the doings of man. The religious people felt that the disciples would have come and stolen the body of Jesus, which they call him a deceiver. We don't have time to go into that, because the reason why they call him a deceiver, because they expected Jesus to have built his kingdom replica to that of the Roman government. They expected him to have had all the militaries and all the setup that of the Roman government, but his kingdom was not of that type. So they call him a deceiver. And the Jews also felt the same way. But then they felt that the disciples would have come and stolen the body of Jesus away. But the disciples did not have no hand in that. The proof is that when the women decided to go to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus, they carried spies. They took the spies to anoint the body of Jesus, which means they expected that he would be there. Number two, the disciples were hidden somewhere for the fear of their own lives. So when the women got to the tomb, thank God for women. When the women got to the tomb and saw that the tomb was opened, they were shocked to their core. So what the Roman government thought would have happened by the disciples did not happen. The disciples had no hands in that. But God had destined that to have happened. Amen. Now let's look at the book of Ephesians chapter 1. verses 18 to 20. And then we'll look at two implications of the resurrection. The importance of the resurrection. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, 19, and 20. This is the Apostle Paul's prayer for the church. But in verses 19 and 20, he says something that is very significant to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." Verse 19. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believed, according to the working of his mighty power," verse 20, "which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in heavenly places." People of God, the greatest power that God ever used was to raise Jesus from the dead. Because on Friday, he was crucified. And Friday, his body was taken into the tomb. But the spirit of Jesus did not remain in the tomb with the body. His spirit descended into the lower parts of the earth to confront that thief called the devil, whom Adam has given to the power that God gave it to him. So Jesus' spirit went into the pit of hell and looked in the devil's eyes in the midst of all demons and told the devil, "That which you took from Adam, I have come to get it from you." And the devil knew that had he allowed Jesus to ascend from the pit of hell through the tomb, he would have lost his power. So the host of darkness and all hosts of hell tried to hold Jesus in hell. But then the Bible says the power that God worked in Jesus when he raised him from the dead. Hallelujah. That was the dunamis power of God, that God himself leaned over and looked into hell and said, "Now it's time. Friday is gone. Saturday is gone. Sunday has come, and something must happen." Amen. And Ephesians tell us that the mighty power which he worked when he raised Jesus from the dead. Yeah. And that same power will raise every believer from whatever situation you are going through. No matter the situation that you are confronted with, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to rescue you, save you, deliver you, and bring you from the dead. And just as how the devil cannot hold Jesus in the grave, no situation will keep you from your destiny. No demon in hell is powerful enough to stop a believer who knows her right, who knows his right, and who will stand on the integrity of the word of God and declare, "Thus says the Lord." No demon can stop you. If they could not hold Jesus in the grave, they cannot hold you in bondage. If they cannot hold Jesus in the grave, they cannot stop a church that is on fire for the Lord. The only force, the only power that can stop you from fulfilling your destiny is you and you yourself. But if you are coming to agreement with this word of God, and stand on this word of God, and believe this word of God, you will do the impossible. You will do the supernatural. And God will be glorified in your life. Tell your neighbor, say, "No demon can stop you." Tell your neighbor, you are too civilized, man. We overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the words. Tell your neighbor, say, "No devil can stop you."
So no devil can stop you. No devil can stop you. Amen. Nothing will stop you. And you were built. You are building. Even if the economy of America is ground zero, you will build. 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 You will build.
Why do I say that? Because it happened in my life. I'm a living example. I'm a testimony to what God can do in the midst of situations. And if God did it for me, he can do it for you. Two implications of the resurrection. One, the resurrection is the proof, the confirmation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. The resurrection is the proof, is the confirmation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 1, 3. The Apostle Paul said, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. So his resurrection, the first implication that his resurrection is the confirmation, is the proof, the validity that Jesus is the Son of God. The tomb is empty. And he's the only one, the only religious man that has a tomb that is empty. His bones are not in the grave. They went to the tomb and all they found was the white garment that he was wrapped in. And the angels even said to the women, why look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's alive. That is the validity that he is the Son of God. The death could not hold him. The grave could not hold him. Herod could not hold him. Pharaoh could not hold him. The tomb could not hold him. So now, what's your proof that he's not the Son of God? There's no proof. He is the Son of God. The tomb. Go to Mecca. Something is in the tomb. Go to all the religious leaders. All the religious leaders. All of them. Their bones are in the grave. But go to my Jesus' tomb. It's empty. So the first implication that he is the Son of God, there's an empty tomb, man. The second implication, the resurrection gave confidence, assurance, and authority to all that Jesus said. Matthew chapter 17, verse 9. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man is risen again from the dead. Tell the vision to no man. What you have seen, don't share it until the Son of Man is risen. Now, people of God, this gave me the boldness to declare, because now that he's risen, I can tell the world about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can tell the world that he lives.
So the Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 16, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation." Now we can declare that Jesus is Lord. Now we can declare that Jesus is Savior because of the resurrection. Had there been no resurrection, we cannot declare that Jesus is Lord. So in the grocery store, I can talk about my Jesus. On the bus, I can talk about my Jesus. In the marketplace, I can talk about my Jesus. Walking down the street of Dabwasi and Adanse, I can talk about my Jesus. Why? Because the resurrection gives me the confirmation and the boldness and the authority to declare that he lives. And because he lives, you will also live. We will also live. Because he lives, we can also be victorious. Had it not been for the resurrection, we have no gospel. So we thank God for the resurrection. And that is why in the book of Matthew chapter 27, go to Matthew 27. Let's see something dramatic in Matthew 27, 62 to 66. I'm trying to be short as possible because today is Easter Sunday and you have to beat the Baptists this morning. We are in competition with the Baptists, man. Matthew chapter 27, verse 62. On the next day, we followed the day of preparation. The chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive, had that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciple come by night and steal him away, and say to the people, 'He is risen from the dead,' so that the last deception will be worse than the first." 65. Pilate said to them, "You have a guide. Go your way. Make it secure as you know." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the tomb and setting a guide on it. Our brother dealt with this verse this morning. And that was wonderful. But I want for us to understand something here very important. And if you watch the Passion of Christ, you will agree with what I'm about to say. You see the evil minds of the people when they were, you know, humiliating the body of Jesus. You saw the evil intention. You saw the wickedness in their minds and in their actions. Now, that was the same mindset they went with to seal the tomb. So imagine what they did with that mindset. The materials that they brought. And how they went about working to make sure that that deceiver will not come out. All what they were doing, little did they know that it was the power of darkness working through them. And they sealed the tomb. I mean, it was sealed. It was sealed. And they placed a guide on the tomb. And they went back home, I believe, and they were rejoicing. "We have succeeded. We have succeeded. We have succeeded." But little did they know that they were contending with Yahweh. Hallelujah. Who is the master of the land, the sea, and the air. Who works in mysterious ways. The tomb was sealed. The tomb was built. But God holds the key to the universe. And there was some rattling, as our brother said this morning. There was some rattling, some movement, some shaking in the head, and something happened. And the Bible says when the women went there, the tomb was opened and the angel was sitting on the door. A symbol of authority that I have it under control. And I just can imagine what went through the minds of the guys that night when the earthquake was taking place and the angel were descending. I just can imagine. But this is the point. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 21. This is the point. Proverbs 19 and 21. The Bible said in Proverbs 19 and 21, there are many devices, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Bible said, it is the counsel of the Lord that will stand. It's very important. Many plans, many intentions, many wishes in the heart of a man. But with all that, it is only what God has said that what will stand. So all the intentions, all the plans of the Romans, soldiers and all the intention, nothing could withhold Jesus in the grave. Because what? It was not the counsel of the Lord. The counsel of the Lord was that on the third day, he will resurrect. So people will think, people will plan, but I guarantee you one thing, the counsel of the Lord will superimpose the counsel of man. The counsel of the Lord will always win because he is God. What is written in the counsel of the Lord concerning Jesus' resurrection? Matthew 17, 22. Jesus says something. Now while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to the disciples, the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. 23. And they will kill him. And on the third day, he will be raised up. That was the counsel of the Lord. That was what was written about Jesus. Believer, it is about time that you and myself take time to understand and get a revelation of what God has said about us. If we understand what God has said about us, when situation happens, when things happen in our lives, we will not succumb to those things, but we'll be reminded that this is not the will of God, and I know the will of God concerning my life. So they sealed the tomb, but that was not the will of God. The counsel of the Lord was that on the third day, Jesus will resurrect from the grave. And nothing, absolutely nothing, could stop what was written in the counsel of the Lord. And whatever God has said about you in his word, it will come to pass. He said in Isaiah 55, 11, the words that go forth from my mouth shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish in that which I please it and prosper in the things whereunto I send it. Hallelujah. So the importance of the resurrection. The importance of the resurrection. Number one, without the resurrection, there will be no church. There will be no believers. And we'll still be in our sin. Without the resurrection. The Apostle Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 14 and 15. He said, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we have found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ whom he did not raise up. In fact, the dead be not raised. The importance of number two. The resurrection gave us faith.
gave us faith that what God has said will come to pass. Gave us faith that if God has said it and God did it, and then God will do it again. So we have that faith because of the resurrection. The third importance of the resurrection is the guarantee and the assurance of our sins being forgiven. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 12. The writer says, quoting God, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." 1 Corinthians 15, 17, the Apostle Paul says, "If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." So the resurrection gave us the assurance that no matter who I was, no matter what I have done, past, present, and future, my sins are forgiven by the Lord. And there's no sin that the blood of Jesus cannot wash away. You see, in the Old Testament, I can't go there because of time. In the Old Testament, that sin was atoned. But in the New Testament, under the dispensation of grace, our sins are not atoned. Our sins are wiped away. There's no evidence. There's no records. That is why it is difficult and more or less impossible for someone to decide that he will go to hell or she will go to hell. I heard people say, "Oh, he's going to hell." No, you cannot say that. You cannot say that. You cannot tell someone by their actions today that the person is destined for hell. No. Because the blood of Jesus can wash away the sin of anyone. I believe if Judas, who betrayed Jesus, would have had enough sense to have asked for forgiveness, he would have been saved. Because God is faithful to save to the uttermost. That's what the Bible says. So no matter what you have done in the past, don't let your past decide your future. Because of the blood that came from his head, the blood that came from his palm, the blood that came from his side, his back, and his feet, five significant places Jesus shed his blood. I don't have time to talk about those things. Because every place on Jesus' body where his blood was shed, it was for the redemption of mankind. So that you and I will look to heaven and say, "Abba, Father." Having been justified, having been redeemed through that cross, we can call God Abba, Father. Thank God for grace. We watched the Passion of Christ last night, and we saw where Father Moses told Joshua, and he told the priest, told the son, he said, "I'm going. I sinned against God. I did not speak to the rock. I struck it." And this morning we're conversing, we ask ourselves, if it wasn't for grace, where would we be? Consider all what Moses did. All the struggles and the troubles. He did one thing. God said, "Speak to the rock." And he struck it. And God said, "You will see the land, but you will not step foot there." Now imagine what we have done in the years that we have lived. Our disobedience, our choices, our decisions and our plans outside the will of God. And yet, his arms are opened like the father of the prodigal son who is saying, "Welcome back home." Thank God for the cross of Calvary. So the next importance of the resurrection is that the resurrection gave us power. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. People of God, we have the power to overcome principalities and powers and all the powers of darkness. Nothing by any means will offend us. But if the church will realize how much power God has placed in you, and in the church will begin to exert that power through prayer and intercession, we'll see a difference in our society, in our world. We are loaded with power. That is why the devil fears the church. But he has weakened the church in the era of prayer. He knows that in prayer, that dunamis power that raised Jesus from the dead worketh in the collective, in the power of the church when the church prays. Oh, there is power in corporate prayer, church. There is power when the church comes together to pray. That is why when they call for prayer meeting, you absent yourself. Hello? Hello? That is why when we call for prayer meeting, few of the faithful ones shows up for prayer meeting. You know why? I came to town to tell you. The devil knows that in prayer, he's defeated. In prayer, the church is victorious. In prayer, we break barriers. In prayer, we overcome the powers of darkness. The Apostle Paul said that I may know him and the power of a resurrection. So when we call for prayer meetings, hello, we have all, I don't know about here, but that's what is happening in other places. I don't know about here. But when we call for prayer meetings, people have all the excuses for not coming to prayer meeting. And the devil rejoices. Because when prayer is absent, the devil reigns. Even sometimes families do not pray. So busy that families do not pray together. I am busy, my wife is busy, and the devil puts his foot in there. And then confusion comes in the family. And then the next thing, we talk about separation. I don't understand this woman. She has changed. No, she has not changed. What has happened is that prayer is absent. And when there's no prayer, the devil has a heyday. My prayer for you is that you will live for prayer in this house. You will live for prayer in this house. Let prayer be your daily bread in this house. If that building will be built, it will take prayer. It will take prayer to open the heavens and let God rain down the blessings to put on his building. The devil will fight you when you are doing something for the kingdom of God. Prepare for that battle. Prepare for that war. If you're destined to do something for God, the host of hell will come against you. But when we can stand to pray and we can speak into the heavenlies and speak into the spiritual realm and decree and declare the powers of God, heaven will break loose. And we'll have our breakthrough. So one of the importance of the resurrection is that we experience the dunamis power of God. The next important of the resurrection is that it gave us the victory. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. He said, but thanks be to God who gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the victory, people of God. But we will experience that victory when we can release the power of the resurrection that God has deposited in us through the resurrection. Hallelujah. And then we'll look at somebody. And when the person tells you, say, you cannot make it, you will not succeed, you will fail, you will ask the golden question, who told you? Who told you? Who told you? When there is an empty tomb, who told you? When my God, my Lord, conquered hell, death, and the grave, who told you I cannot make it? Who told you? The tomb is empty. The stone is rolled away. We have the victory. The next one, because of time, the resurrection guarantees our salvation. It guarantees our salvation. We are saved, blood washed, destined for heaven, sanctified. And whether the devil likes it or not, heaven is our ultimate. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, the Bible says, we can only confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, the resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved, and nothing can stop it. Nothing will stop it. Hallelujah. So the resurrection guarantees our salvation, that our sins are washed away. We are brand new creatures, destined for eternity with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The importance of the resurrection. That is why all powers of darkness tried to stop the resurrection. The Apostle Paul said, if Christ be not raised, our faith is futile and our preaching is in vain. Meanwhile, we go back into the world and do those things that we once did. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Friday, he was crucified. Saturday, he went into the pits of hell. And Sunday morning, there was a shout. There was a giggling. There was a joy in heaven that he resurrected from the grave to give us the victory, to give us the assurance of we being victorious, not in heaven, but on this earth. Hallelujah. And because of that, no powers, no demonic forces, nothing will stop the church of Jesus Christ. But we must have a revelation of the resurrection. And we must have a revelation of the power that came to us, the church, from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we should use that power in prayer to overcome the powers of darkness. Victory is in our future. Success is in our future. Breakthrough is in our future. But it is done through prayer. My prayer for you is that you will be a praying church. You will be a praying church that will affect this, not only this community, but this whole area. If there is a man to pray, there will always be a God to answer. If there is a man to pray, God said, for I sought for a man among them who will stand in the gap and build up the hedge. God will respond. He said, but I found none. May he find intercessors in this house. Brothers and sisters, it's time to intercede. Darkness, gross darkness is covering the earth. But the church must continue to shine as the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We cannot fail our generation. You cannot fail the people of your city. They are looking at you. And may God help you. And may God help us all. Please bow your heads. Let's pray.
I want for us to pray and ask God for the grace to be intercessors. That's the first problem for us to pray for. Just pray silently. May God give us the grace to be intercessors. May God give us the grace to be prayer warriors. Resurrection begins with we being saved. The power of the resurrection begins in our lives when we give our heart to Christ. So if you are here this morning and you have not given your life to Jesus Christ to experience that resurrection power, to experience the victory that comes out of the resurrection, to walk in the victory, the opportunity is yours at the moment. It's a simple prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. And I thank you for dying for me on the cross of Calvary. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving my life. Father, I thank you for your people, O God. I pray, Lord, for a stirring in their spirit. I pray, Lord, for a stirring in their heart, O God. Lord, I pray that the spirit of prayer will be birthed in this church, O God. Lord, that you will raise up intercessors, O God, who will stand in the gap, O Lord, and intercede for the breakthrough, and intercede and call those things that be not as though they are. That intercede, O God, and turn the situation around, that intercede for the pastor of God and lift up his hands as Moses' hands were lifted in the wilderness by Aaron and Hur, O God, and Joshua fought the battle and won the war. Lord, I pray for intercessor in this house who will lift up the hand of Pastor Stephen and the wife, and when his hands, O God, becomes weary, the prayer of the intercessors, we keep his hands high. Lord, birth intercessor in this church. Birth prayer warriors in this church, O God. That the vision will materialize. I thank you, Father, for this Resurrection Sunday. We walk in the victory. We walk in the power. We walk in the revelation. That we are more than conquerors. That we are overcomers because of the resurrection. Bless your people. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, Bishop. All the way from Ghana. Thank you so much. You know, I was thinking about the fact that there are 8 billion people on this planet. 8 billion people. And you know what? Every single one of them fell short of the glory of God. Every single person on this planet right now is a sinful person who needs Jesus. Amen. And so sometimes we go, well, I'm worse than the next person. Look, there's 8 billion of us who messed up pretty bad, right? And so you can't compare yourself one to another. All we know is that we all need Jesus. We all need the same salvation that the next person needs on this planet. Amen. And so the blood of Jesus is enough for every single one of us, the murderers, the deniers, every single person on this planet. Everything that Bishop brought is about your salvation under the blood of Jesus and not how good you are. There's someone out there that's worse, and there's someone out there that's better than you, amen? It is all about the blood of Jesus. Now, I'm going to ask you to give me 3 minutes of your life. Can I have 3 minutes? Because when I walk the streets in Ghana, I see the faithfulness of God all over this man. And Y'all better be glad we didn't have any steps in this church, because last year he came and he preached about tearing down the steps of his church, and I was ready to go out and tear down all the steps of the church, but we didn't have any. So, but we have a tent this year, and that was close enough to the steps tearing down that I could get. So we tore down our sanctuary instead, right? When I walked, I'm blessed that I've walked into both faith academies over there. I walked a land where the new faith academy was going to go, and I've walked in the faith academy. And I'm at the chapels at faith academy. I'm always at faith academy in Mobile. And we take up an offering every time we have chapel at faith academy. And those teenagers, they give money, and they give a lot of money. They give a lot of money to go toward Faith Academy, the schools in Ghana. And so when we were in Ghana a few weeks ago, I stood in front of the kids at Faith Academy, and I said, hey, just so you know, the teenagers in America, every time we have chapel, they take money out of their pocket and they give to you. And those kids at Faith Academy in Ghana, they started to cheer and they started to shout, didn't they, Bishop? They were so excited. They were overwhelmed that people in America cared enough about them to invest in them. And then I walk into the churches, the life churches, and the meet the pastors, and I shake their hands, and I get to preach in their churches, and I look at them in the face, and I realize that everything that we give here from Life Church has helped establish a work in that country for decades, has funded these pastors, that feeds these kids every single day. Some of them, the best meal they get is going to be at Faith Academy when they go to school every day. That's the best meal they get. And yet, we get to invest into that. Amen? So here we are, Easter. He's flown all the way across the world just for us, right? Is that right? Just for us? I think that's the way it worked. But we're going to invest in that ministry in Africa. Amen, church? And so will you close your eyes this morning? Here's what I want you to do. Don't just give. Come introduce yourself. Tell him your name, your kids' names. He has a miraculous memory. He's going to remember next year everything you tell him. But we're going to invest in him and all the pastors and all the kids that are under his ministry in Ghana, West Africa. So, Lord, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. Lord, we thank you so much for the vision that you cast over your people. And you say, if you'll just be obedient to this vision, then your work will be complete. And so thank you, Lord, by the hands of many all over the world who see what you've done, who see the calling that you've placed on that life, who've drawn in thousands of people all over the world to that work in Ghana, Lord. You have blessed it. You have anointed it. You have put your hand on it. Lord, I think it was Bishop, he said, whatever God has anointed, that he has brought his power to it. The anointing of God equals the power of God. And so, Lord, thank you so much for anointing that work over there. Lord, and thank you so much for anointing us, that we can reach into our pockets and we can give. For most of us, it won't hurt us at all. But God, I pray that we give sacrificially this morning. I pray that we give until we can fill it this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and your goodness. We love you. Thank you for salvation in this place. Lord, thank you for the goodness of Jesus dying on the cross, Lord, being resurrected for us. You love us so much that while we were yet sinners, you sent Christ to die for us. We love you so much, Father God. And it's in that precious, holy name of Jesus that we pray. And the church said this morning, amen, amen. Will you stand to your feet? Bless somebody on your way out. Come shake Bishop's hand, and you can give to Ghana right here in this offering bucket on your way out. We love y'all so much. Y'all have a blessed Easter. We'll see you soon.
Thanks again for listening to our audio podcast. If you would like to find out more about our church, you can visit us at life-church.org.